Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio. Today, I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us. Today on the show, we're going to talk a little about hail, the white harvester. Sorry if you've had a hail issue already, or if you're going to have a hail issue yet this year. Sooner or later, if you farm, you're probably going to deal with hail. So we'll get into that just a little bit today. If you've got any questions for us, our number here is 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. You can email us, radio@agphd.com, or send us a note on Twitter, AgPhD Media, Darren Hefty, or Brian Hefty. So before we get into this hail topic here, I literally just had a conversation with an agronomist. We were talking about a poor stand. And he said, guy planted 32,000. It's got 24,000 now. So basically 75%. And I said, well, what was the germ in the seed? Well, it was a little bit low. He said, I think the germ, it was supposed to be 90%. It was tagged at 90%. And I said, okay, normally with seed corn, we see the germ at 90 or usually 95%. But the problem is not the warm germ. I said the problem was this farmer planted early, and what he was dealing with was the cold germ. Any corn planted in April around here or the first part of May would deal with this because our temperatures weren't that warm. We had actually an above normal temperature April, but a below normal temperature May. So even when, you know, normally around here, if you plant corn May 10th even, let's call it, you go, wow, that corn's going to pop out of the ground. Everything's warm. The soil's warm. The temperature's warm. Didn't happen this year in May. So I don't remember what his planting date was, but it didn't matter. We were dealing with the cold germ. Okay, well, it's very common for the cold germ score to be 10 points lower than the warm germ score, if not more. So if you are at 95, that's 85. If you're at 90, that's 80. And I'm not saying it's always that way. Please don't misunderstand. It could have been 80, could have been 90, could have been 70. But the point is, he had a three-quarter stand, and the question was, okay, well, what do I do now? And I just said, well, three-quarter stand sounds pretty good to me. Here's the other way you got to look at this. He didn't have a three-quarter stand. He had a 24,000 stand. Now, we normally will tell you 7 to 10x per thousand. So, in other words, if I have, let's, for easy math, I'll use 30,000. Okay, 30,000 plants, so that's 30. And I multiply that times 7, and I multiply it times 10. That's kind of my range for yield. So, on the low side, that's 210 bushels to 300 bushels. And I go, okay, so did this guy have 330 bushel potential or 360? And he goes, no. No, he's kind of shooting for maybe 250. And I said, well, 250, that sounds great to me. So now he just has to try to hopefully maximize and get 10 bushels per thousand and 24,000. Yes, you can get 250 bushel corn. You absolutely can. So last year, a farmer that we occasionally have on the radio show with us, he'll call in every once in a while. His name's Kevin Matthews out in North Carolina. He's been at our Ag PhD field day several times in one of the high yield plots, really high yield farmer and everything. Last year, he had some 350 bushel corn where he planted 24,000 plants per acre. Let me say it one more time. He had 350 bushel corn where he planted 24,000 plants per acre. So I just told this agronomist, you know, unless the guy wants more than 350, I would say he's in pretty good shape. Plus, if you're going to go replanting right now, that's a problem. That's a real problem where we farm. We're too late to expect 100% of yield. You can probably expect, planted at this point, 75 to 80% of yield. Okay, you got three quarters of a stand. That's one way to look at it. But I just said, look at it as you got 24,000 plants, and I think that's actually pretty decent. The biggest problem that we have most of the time, and so we'll get into this a little bit with the whole hail thing, is if you have areas in fields that are bad. So if it's even across the field where I have a three-quarter stand, I have 24,000 plants per acre on each acre, I'm fine. But what we commonly find is whether it's hail, whether it's frost, it's a planting issue, something like that, it's spotty in the field. And so you'll have areas that might be 28,000 and other areas that are 12,000. And the guy goes, well, it's an average of 24. I'm like, yeah, I realize it's an average of 24. But if you've got a big area, let's say it's 10, 15, 20 acres, that's 12,000 plants per acre, that's where I'm probably looking to replant. Now, here's the other thing. Anytime your stand gets thin, and I assume we'll get into this a little bit today too, but anytime your stand gets thin, the other concern I'm always going to have, of course, because Darren and I are the weed of the week guys, I'm going to be worried about weeds. And let me just phrase it to you this way. Okay, let's say it's corn. What they found with corn is if you can keep that corn weed-free all the way up until the time the corn is a foot tall, now you're in good shape for yield. Now you have maximized yield in terms of weed control. So if you have weeds that pop up after the corn is a foot tall, like in this example, let's say I had 12,000 stand left in certain areas of the field, okay, I might have some weeds that come back later because my residual herbicide runs out of gas. Weeds come in later. They go to seed. Did that hurt my yield this year? Studies would say no. I would say probably not. Might be a little chance, but probably not. What it really matters for is next year, the year after, the year after. So we've had some cases. We try all kinds of crazy stuff in our research. And we've had it before where, oh, herbicide didn't work. Let's go clean it up. You know what? Let's leave some of it and let's just see what happens. So we literally let the weeds go to seed. And I'm not kidding you. It's 5 years. 5 years we're fighting that. And I'm going, yeah, this is a, I'm glad we did the experiment. But man, if I did that on very many acres, I'd be super unhappy because we literally had to do double herbicide treatment for 5 years in a row. 5 years in a row. So I would encourage you, try to prevent weeds from going to seed so you can save money in the future. And that's where, hey, if you got a super thin stand, it might pay just to give yourself better weed control. So just one of the things that we want you to think about. Well, again, we'll be talking about hail throughout the show today. If you've got a question for us, just call us 844-44-AG-PHD or send us an email, radio@agphd.com. We'll get to the Ag PhD mailbag later in the show, but we'll be talking about hail coming up next.
The Pentair Hypro Express Flush Valve reduces plugged nozzles and improves cleanout of your spray boom. Simply flush boom sections with a quarter-turn ball valve and leave your tools in the cab. Plus, installation is easy. Simply remove the existing end cap plug and replace with the Hypro Express Flush Valve. Learn more at pentair.com/hypro.
Stop losing money from your stored grain with the Endzone Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. The Endzone monitors outside conditions to run your fans so your grain naturally reaches ideal temperature and humidity. For more information, visit farmshopmfg.com.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? Brian Ryberg from Buffalo Lake, Minnesota has done just that. Here's his story.
We began using a soil warrior on our farm fall of 2014. We've seen many benefits from better water infiltration, a lot less hours on equipment, fuel, able to reduce our fertilizer side, so it's really simplified our operation.
See what makes Soil Warrior different and better at SoilWarrior.com.
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark, and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Find your full potential and increase your bottom line with branded generic pesticides from Atticus LLC. Atticus offers a vast portfolio of branded generic fungicides, herbicides, and insecticides for row crops. Atticus puts grassroots experience and common sense logic to work to make product selection easier and on your terms. Growers across the region count on Atticus for relevant and reliable products that deliver results every time. Ask your local retailer about Atticus products and visit atticusllc.com to learn more. For value-based solutions you can trust, turn to Atticus. Always read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. We're talking about something that nobody wants to talk about. In fact, they don't even want us to mention it, hail. Don't worry, we're not jinxing you by even talking about this today, but we do want to be prepared because this does happen every year somewhere to someone's crop. And fortunately, there are a lot of good tools out there. We've got Mark Licht with us right now with Iowa State University. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I remember back, it was probably 20 years ago, and Brian and I were at Iowa State for some agronomy training. I think it was a two-day event that Iowa State was putting on, and we went down there and we saw a hail machine for the first time. That was awesome. We were seeing really nice-looking crop just getting pounded by some hail, and it's great that there's research like this that gets done. It is so valuable to us as farmers. So can you talk about that just a little bit and some of the work that you're doing at Iowa State on understanding hail?
Sure. Well, hopefully I was not the young lad that was using that machine, because that would have been about the same time that I would have been using it. We're very fortunate to be able to have that instrument to be able to induce hail. Largely that gets used, for training events, where we can bring in hail adjusters, to talk about what that damage looks like, how do we assess it, some of those things. We've also been fortunate enough because of that we can do research using it, looking at, just the simple, how much yield loss are we going to get type of thing. But then also there's other researchers that are using it and looking at the response with fungicides, things like that as well. So it's a great tool and helps us get some insights for that ugly day when we need that information.
Well, what was interesting to me at the time was how much damage some of these crops can take if it just happens to come at the right time. If it's not at this critical time where seed is being produced, something like that. If it's during the vegetative stages, you can actually take quite a bit of damage without losing a huge amount of yield.
Yeah. Well, and that's a good thing to distinguish. I mean, on the corn side of things, until we get up until the sixth leaf stage when that growing point comes out of the ground, you can have, nearly 100% defoliation and have, no impact on yield, because that growing point will come back and it'll be off to the races again. And the key point on corn is, right around pollination, quite honestly. That's the worst time to get hail. Because it's going to affect, pollination and seed, that early seed fill, early seed set. And then as we go, continue through the reproductive stages, those kernels get harder and the damage becomes less and less. Whereas, with soybeans, you can basically say the earlier we get it, the better, all the way out until the time frame of, a white combine coming through. That's obviously the worst time to get hail on soybean is once we've hit maturity, because those hailstones just crack those pods right open and then that seed ends up on the ground.
Yeah, it is tough. And then you see with a lot of the storms, you get just a tremendous amount of wind that comes through as well. And it just makes it really difficult sometimes to fully understand what the damage is to the plant until you give it a couple of days and let it start to regrow. When you're looking at plants early season, obviously the idea that many farmers will have as well, maybe I should just replant. And there are certainly some replant acres going in around the country right now. Where do you draw that line? What is the fine line in it's too late to replant? Is it just when you have a complete wipeout of a crop, or is there a certain percentage as you get further?
Yeah, so it really depends on, what's the calendar date, so to speak, and then what is the remaining stand look like? So have you reduced the population by 25% or 50%? And obviously that where you make that break point depends on how late you are. A good example, if we kind of use like right now, a lot of the corn in the area of central Iowa where I'm at, is right around the fourth leaf stage. If we had a hailstorm come through and knock the population down to, 30 or 28,000, I would really recommend people to keep it, especially as we look at we're in the first week of June. We've already got a yield loss, trying to plant something that late. Right. So, a lower stand is better than a replanted stand in a situation like that. But if, you know, first week of June, you end up with, you know, 15,000 or 10,000 plants out there, yeah, you're probably going to be better off, you know, tearing out that stand, putting in, you know, something new, even though it's maybe only at 85 or 90% yield potential.
Yeah, lots of tough decisions when bad weather like hail comes through. We're talking to Mark Licht with Iowa State University, certainly a great reference. Iowa State's done a lot of work on hail. Mark, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. Let's head down to Nebraska. We've got Justin McMeckin on with us right now with University of Nebraska. And Justin, hopefully this is the last time this season that we talk to you about hail.
Yeah, that would be great. Having early season hail is definitely more appealing than the late season hail.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like Mark was talking about with corn, if you catch it before that growing point's out of the ground, well, you could still be in a decent spot. But you're right, we get late season, it's trouble. The other thing that we were just kind of starting to get into a little bit is some of the disease potential after a hail event and stalk damage. Can you talk to us about some of those things if a grower decides to keep the stand? Hey, the stand's okay. I'm not going to lose so much yield that it's worth replanting. What can I do to care for it? And are you seeing some yield responses with different management practices?
Yeah, and some of that work's been done and published on here not too long ago. With soybeans, we really don't see a very good response to some of those applications, although growers may be applying fungicides later in the season. There's just some difficult scenarios when it comes to stem damage and what those might be facing. But for corn, it appears that stalk strength and standability may be a factor with fungicides following a hail event. And so maybe looking at an application, ultimately, growers need to decide what the value of those crops are before they look at increasing the cost of managing those. And we are really opening up the canopy in some cases, depending on when these things are happening. And so being cognizant of potential weed pressure in some of those fields may be a real thing that kind of catches us off guard if we're away from those fields for a bit.
You're absolutely right. That is one thing. I talk to a lot of growers that are all excited about, I'm going to get out there with the fungicide right now. And that's one of the things that we'll say, you know, you might give it a couple days here because you're probably going to need some weed control as well because our residuals have run out. We forget how good a job crop canopy does at holding those weeds down.
Yep.
So when you look at corn and at soybeans, obviously the growth stage is going to make a big difference. The wind that comes along with some of these storms too, you mentioned that stalk damage. And what I see more times than not is on one side of the plant, it's all beaten up. And on the other side of the plant, it may not be at all.
Yeah. We have a simulated hail machine here, and we've gone around pounding the daylights out of corn and soybeans. And realistic to a field scenario where we get these heavy winds that come with them, one side gets really badly damaged. And there are pinch and push methods later in the season to determine, you know, how you might want to prioritize harvest. But that's absolutely a factor. You know, the mechanical losses potentially from these types of things. Well worth considering, and probably the safest tactic is to look at timing of harvest and get those fields out early before we lose a lot. And that's where I hear fungicides have some potential to add to stock strength under those scenarios.
Talking with Justin McMeckin with the University of Nebraska. Justin, thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming on for this tough topic of hail. And I get it. There's a lot of ifs of where we're at with the crop stage and everything else. But man, it's some tough decisions coming up certainly throughout the season. Thanks, Justin. Really appreciate having you on.
Thanks for having me on.
We're talking about hail on today's show. Unfortunately, hopefully we're talking about it today, so we don't have to talk about it the rest of the year. It's certainly something we don't want to have happen to you, but you do need to be prepared, so we're hoping to bring up some topics here today that you might be thinking about as you get into the season in case you do have some trouble on your farm. We're also taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back after this.
When it comes to competitive herbicide formulations, you know Nufarm. They've been bringing growers trusted brands like Weedmaster, Patriot, and Diablo for decades, made right here in the USA. What's your favorite New Farm brand? Email it to turnuptheburn@newfarm.com and you'll be entered to win a monthly $1,000 product giveaway. In these unprecedented times, you're facing unprecedented pressure. New Farm's here to help.
You're all set with the 4x4 turbo diesel truck. How about some options? Spray and bed liner?
Absolutely.
Tailgate step and Nerf bars?
Gotta have them.
Tie down hooks and stainless steel toolbox?
You know it.
Tinted windows?
Of course.
Options are good. That's as true in the field as it is with your pickup. In addition to taking care of tough weeds, new Open Sky herbicide gives you more rotational choices than ever before and an easy-to-handle formulation.
Gooseneck tow package?
Yep.
Discover more Open Sky details at openskyherbicide.com.
Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whenever you want, farm your way with Case IH AFS Connect. Now you can farm, share data, and manage your fleet however, whenever, and wherever you want. Learn more at caseih.com/farmyourway.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Bellum is Rotem North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Bellum. For more information, visit bellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
Oh my goodness, did you see Bob's gorgeous soybean rows?
Totally. I couldn't believe how clean, weed-free his entire field looked. I'm, like, so jealous.
I heard he started using this new post-applied residual herbicide called Perpetuo, and it's burned down and long-lasting residual powers, making his soybeans, like, literally the talk of the town.
Ah, so Perpetuo's his secret.
Yep.
Talk to your retailer or visit Valent.com/Perpetuo to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. Brian Hefty here, along with my brother Darren. We're live in the Morton studio today. If you've got a question for us, 844-44-AG-PHD. That's what Aaron did. He's calling in from Iowa today. Hey, Aaron, how are you?
I'm good. How are you both doing?
Excellent. What can we do for you today?
I was just wondering about ideal time for post-spray. If you didn't have to get out there early because of weeds, when are stages to go for and not go for when we're going to spray here coming up?
What are you going to spray?
Some of my acres will have Impact, and some will have Explorer with some atrazine.
Explorer. Do you know what that is, Darren? Is that HPPD? What? Go ahead. Sorry.
Yep.
Generic Callisto.
Generic Callisto. Got it. You said you'll do the generic Callisto along with, what did you say?
Atrazine.
Atrazine, got it, okay.
I'm sorry, I've got some acres I'm going to be doing Impact on.
Yep.
And then some Callisto with atrazine.
Yep, perfect. Yeah, either way, you know, HPPD and atrazine, they are both very easy on the corn. So I'm not too worried about it. Now, if you don't have to go spray, you might as well wait. I would say probably V5, V6, something like that, and then I'd be pulling the trigger. Now, here's one of my concerns for you, Aaron, and you're from Iowa. We farm in South Dakota, so right across the border. It's been hot. It's going to be hot for a little while. So it only takes 82 growing degree units to jump up an entire leaf stage. And so it's very possible that with all this heat we're getting, we could really move that corn along fast. I just don't want it to get too big on you or anything like that. But I mean, yep. If it was, and you know, if there's rain that comes and then all of a sudden you're behind the eight ball. So I usually tell guys, hey, just be at least a little bit on the early side. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with going out spraying at V5, V6 if you would like to do it. On our farm, we've been doing a lot more V3, V4, and part of the reason why, honestly, is because the guys that work for us on our farm are great. But every year, it's wind, or it's rain, or there's something that happens. A sprayer breaks down. And I was fighting this for several years. I'm like, yep, I want to time it right at V5. And then sure enough, it'd be V7 before we're finishing. And I'm going, no, I want to finish earlier. So we just have started starting a little earlier just to make sure that we finished on time. But yeah, V5, V6, no problem with what you're going to spray.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Yeah, thanks for the call. All right, let's next go out to the state of Michigan. We got Rick on with us. Hey, Rick, how you been?
We've been hanging in there. How have you two been? Okay.
Yes. I mean, lots.
We're still tolerating each other, Rick, but it's been really hard being cooped up with this whole COVID thing. I need to get out really, really bad.
You guys remind me so much of me and my brother, but my question is, we've got a lot of vegetables planted. Thank God, struggling between. Our state can go from 80 to mid-40s. That's what happened early in the year. And you plants out there, and that just brings them to a standstill, especially when they haven't even really rooted.
Right.
They just come to a standstill. But my question is more, too, we're really struggling. Our corn and soybean planter broke. The Kinsey, just too heavy of a machine. We had all the big stuff, big tanks. And so we traded. They gave us good money, John Deere dealer, and we got a 16-row John Deere. My question, now that we can cover some space, the Kinsey was 12, is how much time? We're half done. All we're planting is conventional beans. Why? To try to make that extra dollar. Every little bit helps. We got a great sprayer, the Haggie. How much time would be the latest we could struggle through them before we have to say bypass. So we have crop insurance, but that's not our intention. We like to plant them. What would be the longest? And with conventional beans, we've done some. I don't know what we're using. That's not part of my job. But what would be your combo for conventional beans before the beans come up?
Now, that's it.
I'll listen to you.
Okay, but wait a second. I just want to make sure that I follow your question. Are you asking how late in the season we would plant soybeans? Or is that what you want to know? Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I want to know how long we can go and
sure.
a good pre-emergence. That's it, guys.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so first of all, in the state of Michigan, the last plant date for full crop insurance is June 15th. Where we farm, the last plant date for full crop insurance on soybeans is June 10th. But, you know, northern part of the United States, June 10th, June 15th, somewhere in that range. Now, that's the full crop insurance. So you can plant after that and still get crop insurance. It's just it drops down 1% per day for every day afterwards. So you can keep going. I would feel in your area very comfortable planting beans until June 15th and still expecting a good yield, not 100% yield, but certainly a good yield. After that, it just depends on, and you have to weigh this out yourself, is it worth it to keep planting? Now, back when soybeans were $10-$15, then I was perfectly comfortable planting beans till the 4th of July, quite frankly. But as you get later, then you just need to switch to earlier maturing beans. So what ends up happening a lot of times is guys already have the beans in the farm. So they go, yep, I'll stay with a full season bean. And I go, no, you're running a lot of risk because the problem is you might end up having a frost that's on time or early, and now you get green beans, and now we've got a problem. So I would just encourage you, hey, you got a little bit of time here. Yep, you're probably going to be fine, but whatever your normal full season maturity is, it's now time to start backing that off just a little bit. You don't have to get carried away, but would I start backing that off a little bit? Absolutely. So if I normally planted, let's say, a group 2.0, I might move it down to about a group 1.5 here for the next week or two, and then I'd move it down another half a group after June 15th, and I just keep moving it down every week after that if I wanted to continue planting. In terms of pre-emerge herbicide, we're still a big believer in using the three pre's, using a yellow, Metribuzin, and either Valor or Authority. I really like that combination, but you've got lots of things you can do. With conventional beans, it's very important to get a good pre-program out because you don't have many options post. There are very few that will kill most of the Roundup resistant weeds, most of the broadleaf weeds. So use a really good pre-emerge herbicide program and you should be in good shape. All right, let's jump down to the state of Iowa. We got Mark calling in. Hey, Mark, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. What can we do for you?
Got a question. Yep. We're doing some relay cropping with soybeans and cereal rye.
Okay.
And we're thinking about spraying Extendamax over the top of the rye with the soybeans growing in it. And was wondering if that's going to hurt the rye for seed production.
Anytime. Well, let's see. I assume, how far along is that rye?
It's headed out now.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yes. Anytime you're going to spray something late in the year when you've got heads on it, for example, you're running some risk. Now, I'll just say this, and I'll give you the example of soybeans. We talk all the time with guys about desiccation. I'm not a fan of desiccation at all because it will hurt the seed germination. Sometimes it hurts a little bit, sometimes it hurts it a lot. But I don't like desiccation on seed crops at all. So that's really my number one concern. Number two, and I don't even know the answer to this. Darren, is Extendamax even labeled for rye? I can only
find that wheat and a couple other cereal grains, oats, things like that, but it is not labeled for cereal rye that I can find.
Oh, yep, I got it right on here. Extendamax may be applied post-emerge to rye. So it actually is. Let's see. Anyway, it says
the problem is the timing, and it's just too late.
Right.
We've got some rye that's all headed out too, and it's just too late.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's what I needed to know.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mark.
You betcha. Thank you.
I love getting those kinds of questions, though, Darren, because, you know, not a lot of people have probably been thinking about that, hey, I'm going to go in, I'm going to seed soybeans, and I'm still going to harvest this rye, maybe even for seed. So a lot of guys are thinking, you know, just for hay. Okay, that's one thing. But when you start talking about seed is just a whole different animal. We got to do everything we can to protect all seed. So, yeah, I wouldn't feel comfortable spraying something that late.
We'll be right back with more of your calls and questions after this. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio.
Your land is a legacy, a challenge from those who tended it before you to build on their foundations. At Corteva Agriscience, we understand what it means to be the stewards of a legacy. We embrace the challenge of building on the foundation of Dow AgroSciences, to maintain your trust, to bring new solutions, to help you care for your land. See how we can help build your legacy at rangeandpasture.com.
When it comes to my weed control, I know a head start can go a long way. That's why I spray early, so I can keep control all season long with a Roundup Ready Extend crop system, the system that makes the difference. This is my field.
Choose the Roundup Ready Extend crop system for control of more weeds than any other soybean system. Featuring Extendamax herbicide with vapor grip technology to manage tough-to-control weeds, including up to 14 days of soil activity, along with the field-proven performance of Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Now you have the right tools to extend your weed control and extend your yield with the system that makes the difference. Learn how you can put the system to work in your field when you visit RoundupReadyExtend.com. Extendamax is a restricted-use pesticide. Performance may vary. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Check local regulations for specific requirements in your state.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy. All the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Corn and soybean growers are in a race against time when it comes to hard-to-kill weeds. Interline Herbicide from UPL works fast to eliminate some of the most challenging glyphosate-resistant weeds, including pigweed, water hemp, mare's tail, and ragweed. Interline can be used as a burn-down treatment or as an over-the-top treatment in glufosinate-tolerant crops, including Liberty Link varieties. Ask your retailer or UPL sales representative about Interline, and always read and follow label directions.
Heat, drought, wind, hail, northern corn leaf blight, gray leaf spot. If your corn is under stress, you are too. Get Veltima fungicide, swift activity, with fast payback, an expanded application window. Makes life simple, and it's the secure choice. With powerful residual for visibly healthier corn. Swift, simple, secure. Veltima fungicide. Call your BASF rep today. Always read and follow label directions. Veltima fungicide is not registered in all states.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're broadcasting from the Morton Studio today, and our topic is hail. So why not talk to somebody that deals with insurance? We've got Reno Brueggemann with Brueggemann Crop Services in South Dakota with us right now. Reno, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Darren, how are you doing?
Good, good. First of all, how are things going on the farm? You got everything in, or are you still working on it?
We're doing what everybody loves to do, plant beans. We got probably a couple days left. Got one planter. Just got rained out. We've been getting hit and miss all day, but we're plugging away. A couple days left.
Well, you know, it could be worse. You could be planting for the second time, and we're talking about hail on today's show, and certainly somewhere there will be farmers this year that have to replant with hail. If you get hailed out, or if you have a customer of yours that gets hailed, what do you recommend for them? When do you recommend they get to the field? How quickly should they be calling their insurance agent and so forth?
Well, we've, you know, gone past the final plant date on corn, and that replant period is coming up here. And, you know, I'd like to tell guys if they got, you know, early emerge crops out of the ground to get a hold of us right away, so the adjuster knows what happened, so they can get out and look at it. Because, you know, we're at that stage right now that, you know, if you get hail on a short crop or early emerge crop right now at the early stages, you know, they might possibly make you replant, you know. So at this stage in the game, it's important to get a hold of your adjuster. Other than that, you know, a lot of times when it's later in the stage in June and July, we got fully, you know, flowered out soybeans and pollinated corn, you know, they like to wait 7 to 10 days to come out and look at the crop, because that seems to show the worst signs of hail, and it's easier to detect and to get a proper adjustment.
You know, with corn, we know the growing points below the ground until we get to about V6. With soybeans, though, we've got growing points out right away. And I know they look worse sometimes when you see soybean fields all beaten up. But I've been amazed when you look at the hail charts. You can take a lot of a beating in those soybean crops. Do you have to normally calm guys down when their soybeans get just a light hail?
Oh, yeah. We've had the last 2 years in a row on our own acres. Middle of July, we got a pea-sized hail event that just shredded them. I mean, they defoliated them really bad, and basically went out and fungicided them three to five days later. And I tell you what, they came back with a vengeance. Plant height, you know, the main stem got broke, so they didn't get really tall, but they bushed out really well, and they actually ended up yielding really good, you know. Hail at the certain times on a soybean crop especially isn't all bad, and I'm sure you guys have witnessed it yourselves.
Well, I know some farmers will say that helped them with their white mold control as well, eating through that canopy a little, but I don't recommend that. I'd recommend taking other steps so you don't have to rely on hail. How about in the small grains, Reno? Did you have any issues this year with frost or hail or anything hitting small grains?
To be honest with you, you know, my insurance area, I got very few. We had a little bit. I had a few insureds with winter wheat in, and that actually looks fantastic from here to central South Dakota around Pierre. The winter wheat crop looks really good. We haven't had any real hail events to test the small grains yet. Other than that, I mean, small grains, that they're really susceptible. You get hail on them and you break that flag leaf or that stem, you're going to hurt yield way worse than soybeans or even corn in that matter.
Yeah, it gets pretty tough, especially some of the late season stuff that we were hearing in other parts of the country right now, whether it was the frost that came through just a couple weeks back or even some light hail or some wind events. Yeah, there's always things that come up.
You know, Darren, speaking of frost, we got, that first week of May out here, we had really cold down to 24 degrees. And what amazes me is none of the alfalfa crop got nipped during that cold streak. And I don't know what it is around your area, but back when I had cattle, if I would have had alfalfa in, that stuff would have turned brown and hit the ground. But it just amazed me. I don't know if it's the hybrids or new genetics of this new alfalfa, but I can't believe that it withstood the frost as good as it did this year. That's the one crop that amazed me that really went through that frost streak really well this year.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Unfortunately, it didn't kill off the alfalfa weevil larvae. They're kind of thick in some of those areas. I would have hoped it would have at least knocked those guys off the plants. But, when it comes down to hail and weather events, talking with Reno Brueggemann with Brueggemann Crop Services, number one thing, call your adjuster right away. Call your agent right away. Get the conversation started. There are often deadlines going on. And if nothing else, it gets your name up the list a little bit to have somebody come out and take a look, because there are a lot of good resources for you out there. And I know it gets to be really emotional, but getting somebody like that in there that has experience can really, really help. Hey, Reno, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time today. Good luck here as you finish up planting those soybeans.
Yep, thanks, Darren.
Okay, to wrap things up on our hail talk today, I would just say this. Number one, when you get hail, don't panic. First thing that I always do when we get hail on our farm is, and I can never remember exactly, okay, how much am I going to lose at what stage? So I just pull out the charts. I always just search for, and you can just do any internet search for, like Iowa State hail charts corn or Iowa State hail charts soybeans. Just pull those things up. It's basically the same stuff that the hail adjuster is going to use too. Now you've got the same information, and hail early in the season doesn't hurt yield a whole lot. Now it might slow down your maturity just a little bit, and if you're already up against it, in terms of, hey, I planted a full season, like full season variety, and I don't know if I'm going to make it, it's going to push you a little bit. But other than that, early season hail really doesn't hurt you that bad in terms of yield loss. So obviously later in the year, it can certainly be worse. But just look at those charts and go from there. Now, the next thing that you want to look at too is stalk damage. So it's not just about the leaves. It's also about the stalk. And I'll give you the example of soybeans. So if your stalks are damaged, so you go, I got so many plants here with lesions, so many plants that are damaged right near the base. What we worry about later on is the plant will grow. It'll grow through a lot of things, but then you get a windstorm in August, and all of a sudden, a lot of your plants tip over then. That can happen. It doesn't usually, but I'm just saying that's one additional thing to look for beyond just trying to figure out, well, what percent of my leaves did I lose and things like that. Fortunately, a lot of people have hail insurance. Fortunately, hail early in the season doesn't usually hurt you all that bad. But, I mean, we've all had hail later in the year, and that is not a whole lot of fun when you go, man, I'm just about... I just about had my yield made, and then you get a hail. We've had guys before that were harvesting, stopped harvesting one night, got hail that night, the rest of the field completely wiped out. I mean, that just stinks. So anyway, hopefully that doesn't happen to you, but we just encourage you, just do everything you can to try to stay calm, look at the charts, see what you believe you're actually going to lose, talk to your hail adjuster. And one last thing that I will throw out, since it is early in the season, like at least here in the northern United States and in southern Canada, it's early in season, we've got small corn. Corn, the growing point does not come above ground until about V6 or so. So you could have hail that literally wipes out your entire field and you're at V3. Well, the growing point's still below ground. So chances are in just a few days, you're going to see things start poking out of the ground and things will be fine. We have had it before where it kind of tatters the leaves, and I've had not many, but just a handful of guys that have gone out with a mower or a stalk chopper or something like that to cut off some of the leaves to allow the new growth to come through better. I don't typically recommend that. You can sometimes do more harm than good, but we occasionally will get that question. Anyway, with hail, I guess I'll just pray that you don't get it this year, and hopefully you don't. I know that's what we're praying for in our farm is no hail. We are in an area that does get hail on a fairly regular basis. I think Darren, on some ground he owned, had it like, I don't know, 5 years in a row. So that really stinks. Hopefully.
6 times in 4 years.
It doesn't sound like fun. All right, we'll get to your questions in the Ag PhD mailbag next.
If you're looking to get the most out of your foliar nutrition and fungicide programs, ask your ag retailer about Nutex EDA from Sipcam Agro. Nutex EDA has been proven to increase foliar micronutrient tissue levels and maintain those levels for an extended period of time. When tank mixed with fungicides, Nutex EDA helps support plant health, resulting in higher quality and yields. Nutex EDA is an affordable and effective solution that should be part of every grower's high-yield toolbox.
You deserve to have a building that will last for generations. With more than 110 years of experience and thousands of satisfied customers, Morton Buildings is the industry leader you can trust. Unlike other construction companies, you work with Morton Buildings craftsmen from conception to completion. There's no better time to buy. Lock in your new building for 2020 today. Contact your local Morton sales office or visit MortonBuildings.com.
Oh my goodness, did you see Bob's gorgeous soybean rows?
Totally. I couldn't believe how clean and weed-free his entire field looked. I'm like, so jealous.
I heard he started using this new post-applied residual herbicide called Perpetuo, and it's burned down and long-lasting residual powers, making his soybeans, like, literally the talk of the town.
Ah, so Perpetuo's his secret.
Yep.
Talk to your retailer or visit Valent.com/Perpetuo to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
How much money are you leaving in the bin? If you want the most profit from your stored grain, you need the Grain Temp Guard from Farm Shop MFG. This low-cost bin monitoring solution tracks temperature and humidity and gets your grain in ideal condition. And with deep preseason discounts on all Grain Temp Guard units, now is the best time to upgrade. Don't leave your money out in the bin. Get the most from your grain. Order today at farmshopmfg.com.
Corn and soybean growers are in a race against time when it comes to hard-to-kill weeds. Interline herbicide from UPL works fast to eliminate some of the most challenging glyphosate-resistant weeds, including pigweed, water hemp, marestail, and ragweed. Interline can be used as a burn-down treatment or as an over-the-top treatment in glufosinate-tolerant crops, including Liberty Link varieties. Ask your retailer or UPL sales representative about Interline, and always read and follow label directions.
Hey, Adam. New drone?
Not just any drone.
I mounted a laser on it to take out weeds.
Look out for that tree!
In the power lines! Oh, it's heading for the house.
There's a simpler way to protect spring wheat from weeds. Perfect Match Herbicide. The broadest spectrum weed and grass control in one product. Learn more at PerfectMatchHerbicide.com. Always read and follow label directions.
The laser.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton studio today. We've been talking about hail, but we've gotten so many questions in for the Ag PhD mailbag. Let's dive into the mailbag.
It's the mailbag!
I got a question from Shannon. This came in on Twitter. Again, if you've got a question you'd like to tweet to us, Ag PhD Media, Brian Hefty or Darren Hefty. Shannon said, I watched your Weed of the Week segments on downy brome, and we've got a small bluegrass brome pasture that's about completely invaded with downy brome. So I'm wondering, are there any solutions that I could use to kill the downy brome without killing bluegrass or hopefully even the regular brome?
Yeah. Now, normally when I say one crop that sounds similar to one weed, it's not, I'm not optimistic. So for example, if I'm going to try to kill volunteer corn in corn, can't do it. If I'm going to try to kill, let's see, I'm trying to think of anything else, any other real great example. I'm going to kill wild oats in oats. You're not, there's nothing you can do.
Volunteer, but the good news, sunflowers, yes.
Thank you. But the good news here is, yes, you actually can kill downy brome in brome grass. What you would use is plateau or imazapic. You got to remember, downy brome is really not brome grass. Downy brome is just an annual weed. It's a winter annual weed. We usually call it cheatgrass. Whereas brome grass is a perennial, and it's a tough perennial, so it absolutely can handle some herbicide. So yes, I would go out there with plateau. That will work. I'm not going to say it's going to be perfect, but you're going to do okay on that downy brome.
All right, thanks for the question. Got another one, Brian. Since we're into pasture type stuff, we've got one from Bruce in Iowa. He said, I've got some sedge grass in pastures, so I'm assuming that's yellow nut sedge. Wondering what to do to get rid of that. And we've had some yellow nut sedge questions popping up recently, and it looks a lot like a grass. It looks kind of shiny, but if you actually feel down towards the bottom of that, it's got a triangular stem, and it's definitely something different. It's not a grass. It's not a broadleaf. It's a sedge. And to kill that, the main active ingredients that we've used have been bentazan, which would be the active ingredient in basagran, which you may be familiar with from your corn and soybean crops, and halosulfuron, which would be the active ingredient in permit or sandia. So those would be the active ingredients that work fairly well. Now, do they have much activity on grass? Actually, neither one of those has much activity in grass. Is it labeled for every type of pasture? Probably not. So you may check labels to find bentazan or halosulfuron that are labeled for your type of pasture.
Almost every day I can come up with some agronomic thing that I hate. And I hate the term sedge grass because it's just like saying broadleaf grass. What? How can a broadleaf be a grass? They're two completely different things. A sedge is something different than grass. And we here's why I hate it. I just don't want people to get confused, because when you hear the word grass, you just start assuming, oh, I can use a normal grass killer. No, sedges are totally different. So just make sure that you're keeping those separate. And yeah, it's just a term in agriculture I do not like. Sedge, grass, two totally separate things.
All right, let's get to another question. This one comes, specifically for me. This is from Dale.
Must be a good one.
Said, what's the deal with all the flags in the field? And he describes where this field is at. Well, it happens to be a field of mine. And you got a bunch of flags out there. What's going on? Well, you've heard a lot about the flag test for emergence in this particular field, doing a flag test all the way across 24-row planters. So 24 rows we're doing flag tests for emergence just to see what it would look like, see if we've got any problems out there across the planter. And there's so many different color flags in this particular field, because we put out one color flag if you looked in the morning and saw something popping up, another color flag for emergers in the afternoon. Well, emergence came over several days because it was just so stinking cold. In fact, one of the last days we were putting flags out there, I was out talking to a few young folks that are working for us this summer, and it was so cold that I had a coat on, and the other guys had coats on, but we were all wishing we had winter coats on that day. That just slows down emergence, no doubt about it. But the field looks fairly even, to be fair, because really the plants that got up a little early didn't get ahead of the ones that were behind.
Okay, so this is something we started talking about probably 10, 15 years ago. You've heard guys like Randy Dowdy, David Hewlett talking about this here in the last few years. But there is a definite difference when you have late emergers versus early emergers in terms of what will that ear make. And I said this earlier in the show today, but it takes about 82 growing degree days or 82 heat units to get to the next leaf stage. So what we're looking for is, we know that, hey, if a corn plant next to a good one is one leaf behind, the corn ear is not going to be great. If it's two leaves behind, the corn ear is horrible. So we want to be at least a half a leaf stage or closer to the one that's right next to us. So 40 GDUs. So I don't have a real big problem if we're 20 to 40 GDUs different. But boy, if we're 80 or 100 or 200 GDUs different from emergence one plant to the next, now we've got a real, real issue. anyway, we put the flags there so then you can see, all right, the first color flags are a certain color. The next emergers are another color. And then we can track that all season long and see how big the ears got. And then we can show people visually, okay, here's what we have when you're this far behind. But this spring, we had so few heat units each day. And this is one of the things that I was talking to our guys about. I'm like, okay, don't get too worried about it. Yeah, you had emergence over a week, but in that week, you had 12 GDUs in the whole week. So you're good. If it emerged over a week, that's just fine. That'd be for like somebody who's down south and planting when it's hot, or let's say you planted corn right now, it's 90 degrees outside. That'd be like all emerging in the same day or within even a few hours. So yeah, it's a little bit different when you're here in a cold climate trying to raise corn.
Yes, and I remember working with Case IH on this, and they would call it net effective stand, and they'd look at how did those plants emerge? Did one get a leaf stage or two stages ahead? And this is something they were promoting, yeah, like you say, probably 15 years ago, and it was really interesting, and it really changed, you know, how a lot of people took a look at emergers and what was different. And certainly there's been a lot of ways over the years to analyze that. That's what I'm doing, Dale, out in that field, just trying to see how our emergence is with our planter. Got a question here from KF, wondering what our row spacing is. You guys doing 36-inch rows? You doing 30-inch rows in corn? We are doing 30-inch rows in corn, and we've been doing that for a number of years. Thanks for the question. Another one, downy brome. You guys are talking about downy brome. James said it's so bad in our wheat this year, I didn't even realize it was out there, and now it is all headed out. I'm assuming that's too late to control. Yep, if you get too late in the season like that, the damage has already been done. But you can plan on that you're going to have that going forward now that it went to seed, and use some of the pre-emerge herbicides, whether it's Prepare or possibly Olympus, depending on where you are and what your crop rotation is. Leonard said, you guys were talking about Creeping Charlie, trying to keep Creeping Charlie under control is like playing whack-a-mole. It keeps popping up all over. One of the things that happens, Leonard, when you've got perennial weeds is oftentimes they have rhizomes that run beneath the ground and then pop up with a new plant. So whenever you're spraying a patch of Creeping Charlie, spray well outside that patch, 10 or 15 feet outside that patch too, because there may be some new plants that are about to come up.
All right, this one came in from Gary. We were talking about downy brome control in brome grass, and he had a suggestion for us. He said, hi, guys. In smooth brome seed production fields, we use Prowl. Then an application is often made late summer prior to the fall emergence of the downy brome, then sometimes again prior to the spring flush of downy brome. Gary, thanks for that information. Appreciate that. Yeah, like I said earlier in the show, Plateau, but he's got another option for us, Prowl, and Prowl certainly is an excellent herbicide that kills a lot of weeds pre-emerge.
All right. Got one here from Herman. He said, I listen to Ag PhD almost every day. Love both farms and farming, and I love your show. One thing, though, about the broadcast troubled me. When the government has been spoken of lately, the tone seems to become decidedly negative, which happened today when corn acres planted came up. It confuses me because our president is providing $19 billion of aid to farmers. I know there are regulations farmers may not like, but isn't it a little hypocritical to disdain the government and then collect money as well?
My only comment was, I don't believe that they have the acres right. How can you have the acres right? I mean, are they going out surveying every individual field? And there's no way anybody can ever have acres right because they aren't out surveying every single thing. So I don't think that's a slam against any political party or anything else. It's just, it's always going to be an impossible job.
Well, it's one of the things fun about doing this radio show, too, that we get to talk to farmers all over. And when we hear from farmers across the country, you know, I don't think the acres are quite right. Guys haven't gotten everything in yet. That's pretty good information and timely info, too. Hey, thanks for listening to the show, Herman. We really appreciate it. Thanks to everyone for listening today. Be sure to join us again for more Ag PhD Radio.